Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to tonight's Hidden Sparks Without Walls presentation. My name is Alicia Haas, and I'm the Director of School Services at Hidden Sparks and host for tonight's webinar. I'm grateful that we have Yonina Lermer here with us this evening to discuss perseverance, helping our children get comfortable being uncomfortable. As always, throughout the presentation, we encourage you to contribute your comments and questions via the chat. If you'd like the whole group to see your comments, please be sure to chat to everyone. Otherwise, you can direct your question to me to have your question addressed. A full recording of tonight's webinar will be available in about a week. I'll let you know when it's posted and you can share it with friends. While I introduce Yonina, please pop your location in the chat so we can see where everyone is zooming in from. Yonina Lermer is a licensed New York State teacher with a master's in elementary education and a master's in Judaic studies. With over 18 years of experience in education, Yonina has taught almost every grade level and subject in elementary and middle school. As the founder of Kid Coach, Yonina coaches and mentors teachers and parents to become healthy advocates for children and learn strategies and skills to help them succeed. Yonina is the author of the children's book, A Kid's Book About Perseverance, which teaches children the value of continued effort towards the things they love, even when it gets hard. To see what else she is up to and to learn more about Kid Coach, you can head to @KidCoach on Instagram. Yonina, the floor is yours.
All right, Rabbi Huss, check this out. Look where everyone's coming from. Whoa. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming. So glad that you're here. Please put your attention, give your attention right now to my screen. I need you to see my Bitmoji. I don't know if it looks exactly like me, but I have worked on it. So you can always let me know in the chat if I need to work on that. Let me tell you a little bit about what we are going to do tonight. You can see here, I have a little agenda for us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am. We're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to learn, and we're going to get really practical so that you can leave here with things that you're going to try tomorrow. And of course, before we finish up, we'll stop and we will reflect just a little bit. The goals of this session is I want you to really understand what perseverance is, what it means for kids, and also for us as adults. And I'm going to say it again because it's so important. You are going to leave here with very practical things you can do. If you know me, if you don't know me, learn it now. I make sure that you have things in your pocket to try tomorrow that are so easy. Okay. All right, Rabbi Huss, are you ready? I don't know if everyone understands this, but I can't see anyone. I just see right now pretty much me and Rabbi Huss. So you got to use that chat box. You got to let me know what's going on because when I'm not face to face and I can't see your faces and I can't see your body language, it's very strange. So please use that chat box. You'll see I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities. Already, I see it's flying, it's going. You guys are telling me where you're from. Again, I can't see you, but I'm going to tell you, I would love for this session to have the following group norms. I would love for you to put your phone aside. I know that's hard to do, but I want you to zone in with me and I want you to really concentrate. I want you to add to the conversation. You can disagree with me. You can ask me questions, and I want you to have a little bit of fun. It's late. We've all had a long day, but we're going to learn and have fun together. So, who am I? Who is Yonina? There's the boring stuff and there's the fun stuff. So I like to start with the boring stuff and get it like out of the way. Okay. My name is Yonina Lermer. I'm a certified teacher. I have been teaching now for, I don't know, like 20 years. I am also a teacher mentor and a parent coach. I have taught pretty much every grade in elementary and middle school, Judaic studies, general studies, like every subject. I've really done it all. I was a literacy curriculum coordinator in the school that I work in now, which is Yeshiva HaTorah. And I'm the founder of Kid Coach, or Rabbi Haas, Kid Koach. Cute, 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 right? And I started my consulting business about 5, 6 years ago to really align parents and teachers because we're both trying to work on the same kids. And I said, hey, why don't we give both our parents and teachers the same kind of professional development, the same strategies, the same tips? And so Kid Coach was born. Okay, that's the boring stuff. Now let me tell you some fun stuff. Okay, here we go. Number one, I love to eat. Like the weight of my heart is a good meal, nice cooked. I didn't clean it up. I didn't set it up. I'm just saying my birthday is next week. You can sponsor my meal. I'm totally down. Next, I am a recovering perfectionist, which probably could be like its own workshop for another time. I know, fascinating. You have to think about that one, unpack that. I have a real obsession with groundhogs. I don't know if anyone here knows when Groundhog's Day is. If you do, you want to put that in the chat, I'll be very impressed. You have like 30 seconds to show me that you're like a groundhog's person. Oh, Aliza Mayer, February 2nd. Sean Golden, February 2nd. Maggie Ma Oh, whoa. Yeah. Look at my fellow groundhoggers. It's like a Yuntif for me. I love Groundhog's Day. And I'm glad you do too. You've caught several groundhogs in your backyard? Where do you live, Natanya? What? Punxsutawney? Yeah, I went to visit him. I was there. Okay, story for another time. And lastly, oh, you're in Elizabeth, New Jersey. You have groundhogs in Elizabeth. I guess you don't have to go too far to have groundhogs. And I'm always standing, I'm always moving. It's very hard for me right now to be sitting, but you see, I'm kind of like this. Those are the fun stuff. That's what you want to know. You don't really care that I'm like a certified teacher. Do you care? Do you care? I don't know if you care. All right. So we're gonna have a little bit of fun. Oh, Staten Island Chuck. Yes, very good. I can't believe it. You guys really know your ground. I've been with a lot of crowds. This one's the best. People don't usually know about Punxsutawney Phil. Okay, we're gonna start with a little bit of fun because we can't really learn unless we're feeling comfortable and just like, light and in the mood. Look at my screen. You see it says here, this or that. You guys know this game. Would you rather this or would you rather that? I'm gonna present you with two options and you are going to tell me which you would rather. This is the parent-teacher edition because I believe we have parents and teachers on here, which makes me so happy. So here we go. Are you ready? Thumbs up. Yes. Give me a smile over there. First question. Would you rather get your child to eat one more bite of vegetables or get them to clean one more toy off the floor? Guys, you know what that basement is like after Shabbos. Which one? Ooh, veggies, veggies, veggies. Ooh, wait. Now the toys are coming in. Oh, keep it coming, guys. The toys are winning. The toys are winning. It looks like I personally would rather do the vegetable. I cannot stand that basement cleanup after Shabbos, but toys are making a comeback. You have 10 more seconds. 10, 9, 8. Oh, we got two more vegetables. 7. Goldie Kurt's coming in with vegetable. Chaya Berkton with the toys, keeping it even. Ah. Oh. I think we're gonna have to call this a draw because every time there's a toy, there's like another vegetable, unless eating the veggies off the floor is an option. That might work, actually. I agree with you. All right, let's get to our next one. Are you guys ready? Oh, more toys are coming in. Okay, I totally don't agree with you, but you are allowed your opinion. Would you rather do bedtime one more time tonight or deal with morning chaos for the next week straight? Guys, that is a tough one. That morning chaos. Where's my shoe? Can't find my lunchbox. Bedtime, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Whoa. Bedtimes. You'd rather do one more. I know the morning chaos is stinky. It's look at these bedtimes coming in. Bedtime is a treasure. That is true, Natanya. I agree with you. Bedtime, hands down. You'd rather do bedtime. Look at these bedtimes coming out in my house, wins every time. Okay, we get it. You'd all rather do bedtime one more time tonight than the morning chaos. I know. That's why vacation is so nice, because you just don't have to set the alarm and worry about the morning chaos. It's true. All right, guys, here we go. Would you rather deal with a parent email asking for more homework for their child? Or would you rather deal with a parent email about their child fighting during recess? Where are my teachers at? What are you thinking? Parents, you should watch the chat on this one. This will be interesting. Fighting during recess. I'm surprised. Whoa, lots of fighting during recesses. Yeah, we don't want to talk about homework. It gets a little touchy sometimes, right? Oh, okay. Ruchi Taplin says she has a lot to say about this topic. I know. Homework is touchy. I know. Fighting during recess. I think we're still winning with the fighting during recess. People would really rather talk about fight. Rabbi Haas, isn't that interesting? They'd rather talk to the parents about fighting during recess than the homework.
It is a little
That's
surprising, yeah.
right. You'd think like, there's another kid, whatever. There's a whole.
Totally.
All right, guys, I hear you. I hear you. All right, I got one more for you. This one's gonna be so great. Oh, And I like this crowd, Rabbi Haas. This is great. They're so engaged. Here we go. Would you rather a student who asks the same question over and over, or a parent who asks the same question over and over? Look, I knew it. Look at it coming in. Students, 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 students. This is so funny. Oh, okay. Someone said parent because you don't see them every day. That's true, but they can email you every day. They can multiply multiple times a day. Always have patience for students. Okay, I couldn't predict what this one was, what this was gonna bring. But okay, students. Yeah, it's a thing. Teachers are afraid of parents, and parents are afraid of teachers, and we gotta break that, you know? Can we ignore the parent? Erica, that is a great comment. As a school person, no. All right. Love the crowd. Love you guys. This is gonna be good. All right. So let's jump into things. We're ready. Here we go. We gotta define perseverance. Perseverance, basic, simple definition, is the ability to keep doing something even though it's hard. And a lot of times when I mentor teachers and I coach parents, I say to them, whatever issue that you're having with this child, I want you to first think about yourself. How do you deal with this issue? If this happened to you today or tomorrow, what would you do with it? And while children and adults obviously are not the same thing, but in a way, we were once kids and kids will grow up to be adults. So there's a lot of stuff that we do have in common. And so my question to all of you is, what do your perseverance skills look like? Before we talk about how we're going to make other people perseverance, I mean, I really hope you don't look like my Bitmoji here in the corner. But let's take a second, and I want you to use the chat box, and I want you to think. Don't run to type. I want you to take a second to think. I want you to tell me about a time that you had to do something hard. This doesn't have to be like deep, dark secrets, just something that was hard. And I want to know, did you succeed? If you did, give me a few words why you think you did. And maybe you didn't. Maybe you tried something hard and it didn't work. And I want you to tell me why. I'm going to put on my phone over here a 2-minute timer. I want you to take some time to think about this, and I want to hear what you have to say. The timer is going on. Here we go. 2 minutes starts now. Use that chat box. This is great. Keep it coming, guys. We have another minute left. Wow, Shlomi. Something kept urging me to keep going. Beverly, I would love to hear more about that. Yeah, a little cooking marathon, right, Chaya? I hear that. I hear that. We have about 20 more seconds if you want to get something in. Chaya Berkton, we're going to talk about that. All right, guys, my timer is going up. And if you're still typing something, feel free to send it in. And from reading through what came up, I want you to know that there's two themes, okay? There's two common themes in what people wrote. Well, really, it's one main thing, and the word is support. People talked about support that they got from other people. And there were some of you who talked about your own support, right? Giving yourself mantras and talking yourself through things. Support was really key to get you going through whatever it was that was hard. And I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to that. What's important right now is that you took the time out to say, how do I persevere? What are the things that I need to get myself through it? And it seems in this group right here, support was a really big factor. So again, feel free to keep going in the chat box. But if you're ready, take a look here at my screen. So I have to tell you, and you probably know this if you're a teacher and a parent, but the kids that we have today, instead of weighing outcomes and making decisions to solve problems, they're immediately turning to grown-ups. When things don't work out, they're simply just giving up. And the part that's mind-blowing to me is that they're doing this with day-to-day problems. We're not talking about necessarily huge things. We're talking about even just day-to-day problems. A few years ago, I was teaching a fifth-grade math class, and all the kids sat at tables, about four kids at a table. And one day my class walked in, and one girl's chair was like a little bit amiss, you know, like it wasn't tucked neatly under the table. It was like, I don't know, like a foot off. And she came over to me, and seriously, she said, I can't find my chair. And I said, oh, wow. And she said to me, well, what should I do? And I was shocked. Because the chair was like, she said to like turn herself a little bit. And I said to her, I don't know. What are you going to do? And she said to me, I guess I should look for it, right? And I said, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you try that? And guess what? About 30 seconds later, she found her chair. But it was mind-blowing for me to see that her first reaction wasn't to look for the chair. It was to ask me where her chair was. Here's where us teachers and parents come in. We have a job, we have a responsibility, and we have a chance to make a real difference in our child's life. Our children, who we are with all the time, are going to grow up to be adults, and our goal is to give them the skills that they need for adulthood. It's a pretty big responsibility for us, and as you all know, it's not always like pretty or dreamy, but it is incredibly rewarding, and we're doing something that makes a really big difference in their life. So we need you. Kids are starting to face tasks that they don't have the skills to navigate. They have questions they don't have answers to. And I want to make sure we say at all ages and stages, whether they're three, they're 10, they're 14, they're coming across things that are new to them. And us parents and teachers, we are the ones, this is big, guys, in my second bullet here, read it. We are the ones who are going to set the stage for how these kids will face the difficulties, how they will react to these obstacles. It's a big responsibility on our part, and we have to know how to do it. So let's get started here. Okay. Tell me in the chat box, what are some things you've seen your kids, students, your own kids, you've seen them get frustrated at? What are some times when you've seen them give up? What tasks do you think you've seen them have the most trouble? Where have you seen just big frustrations? Go, chat box, go. Test grades, writing a report. They need to look for their shoes. Yeah, that's like my friend in her chair. Anything that requires thinking. Can't find something. Okay, that's a theme here. Conflict with peers, puzzles. Nice. Tasks they haven't done independently before. Yes. Good. Someone else wrote anything they haven't mastered yet. Exactly. Which makes sense, right? Because it's new. Writing assignments, missing out. Interesting. When they don't understand directions, long division. I hear you. I've taught math for many, many years. Good. Too many tasks, overwhelming social situations. Excellent. So let's talk about all these things. Again, feel free to keep putting things in the chat box because I got it open here and I'm looking at it as I'm talking here. So I want to tell you how this is going to work. Okay. If you look at the top of my slide, it says here, get practical. And that's the slide where I'm going to give you the strategy. And then I will always turn to the next slide that says, let's try it, which means that I will tell you all about the strategy. strategy, and then I'm going to give you real practical things that you can do and try. They will be very simple. Okay. So every strategy has two slides to it. One will be where we will discuss the strategy and then a real practical application. All right. So here we go. Our first strategy, nothing you haven't heard before, ladies and gentlemen, is to validate. We want to let kids know that their feelings are natural. And often this gets confused when kids say, "Oh, I'm having trouble." And I've heard adults say, "Go figure it out. I went to that perseverance workshop. You got to do this on your own." But you know what? As you guys just told me before, support is really important. And that doesn't really sound like support. Okay, so we have to let people know, let kids know that we are going to be there. We are going to be their sounding board to help them find solutions. We believe that they're brave enough and that they can figure this out. And we're going to then just leave it. We're going to let their frustrations just sit for a little bit. We're going to allow some wait time. So, what would that sound like? What would that look like? We go to our next slide where we try it. And look at this phrase. What would you like to do about that? So my friend in her chair, when she came to me and said, "I can't find her chair," maybe most people would be like, "Oh, it's right there. Oh, okay." Or I can say, "You can't find your chair. Okay, what would you like to do about that?" Okay, someone wrote here in the comments, anything that requires thinking. And, on one hand, that's like a funny comment, but on the other hand, it's very true, right? My friend didn't really want to think too hard about where her chair was. And so we have to kind of put it back on them. And when I say, "What would you like to do about that?" I'm not saying, "Goodbye, I'll never see you again." I'm opening the conversation. What would you like to do about that? There was also a lot of comments here about social interactions. My friend is being really mean to me. I'm sorry to hear that. That is very frustrating. What are you thinking? What would you like to do about that? And we all know that the first reaction, the kid is going to say, "I don't know." Because it's a hard question. Maybe the girl with the chair, maybe that isn't as hard, and maybe telling her, "What would you like to do about that?" She probably would have said, "I should probably look for it," right? A social interaction, yeah, you might get that kind of response, like, "I don't know." You're right. You're right. You may not know right away because that's a really hard situation. So let's think, what are some things you can do about that? At any point, please, you can put, comments, questions in the chat box. I'll try to address them at the same time, but I'm also watching our clock here. So we're going to move on to our strategy number two. Okay. Next strategy. There we go. Okay. We have obstacles versus opportunities. Sometimes kids get it wrong, and that's okay. When they truly understand, they're going to be more willing to take risks and problems and solve creatively. So we write here in underline, we teach them to see opportunities. So what does that mean? Okay. And a lot of what you're asking in the chat box, by the way, if you keep listening to some more of my strategies, it'll answer your question. Okay. I see you, but I want you to listen. So we have things in life that are annoying. They're obstacles. And sometimes we can take that and look at it and say, "You know what? This is really hard, but this is an opportunity for me to try something." So the other day, I was working with some kids. They were going on a trip. I was getting them on the buses. And a girl came over to me and she said, "There's no one on the bus that I like. These aren't my friends." She wanted me to fix that. Like, I should now just move her bus. That was her obstacle. Okay. So to now turn that into an opportunity. I said, "Oh, I totally hear that. Like, getting on the bus, going on the trip, you're by yourself. I understand that. Is there anyone else that you do know or that you would be okay talking to?" And she said to me, "Yeah, that's true. There's so and so. Like, we're like best friends, but like we talk to each other." I said, "Okay, you know what? There's an opportunity. Why don't we try like sitting with her, talking with her?" And she said, "Okay." Was she thrilled with that? No, but I wasn't about to just remove the obstacle completely. A bunch of years ago, I was talking about this to a group of fifth graders, and one girl raised her hand and listen to this, it was fascinating. She said, "Miss Lerner, this is like Purim." It was like Purim. She said, Yeah, I learned Megillas Esther from my bas mitzvah. And when Esther hears from Mordechai that she has to go save the Jewish people, she doesn't want to. And Mordechai says to her, well, if you don't do it, someone else will, right? So she said, Esther saw this as an obstacle. And Mordechai says to her, no, it's an opportunity. You have an opportunity to save the Jewish people. And I have to tell you that coming from an 11-year-old, I was like, okay, that was a great connection. You know, she said it way better than me. And so, how do we do this practically? We whip out our HMWs. Now, I didn't make this up. There's something called design thinking, which is a problem-solving technique that's being used in the corporate world a lot. And it stands for how might we? And when we add these three words to our obstacle, we turn it into an opportunity. Okay, so let's just say we were coaching Mordechai and Esther for a second, right? We would say, Esther, you're right. It's crazy. It's nuts. I know. Like, you go to the king, he's gonna kill you, but how might we save the Jewish people? Sounds funny when I use it with Mordechai and Esther, but now let's put it back in our situation. You know, like you have no friends on the bus. That's frustrating. So how might we? What? You tell me. Put it in the chat box. How might we what? What could I say to that girl? How might we figure out a way to make this bus ride work? How might we, or more social situations? You guys are talking about a little more social situations here. How might we address someone in school or ask someone in school about this social situation, right? We're just like, oh, I love that. How might we still make it a great trip? That's right. When we add those three little words, it just suddenly turns things around where they're now thinking, what can I do? How can I take this situation and perhaps do something with it? Because they right now have shut it down, they've closed it, and they're waiting for you. So whip out your HMWs. Ooh, I like this. Sari, how might we join the other girls at recess? Yeah, you're getting it. How might we find someone to chat with? Absolutely. And once again, I'm going to go back to that first strategy. You're showing them you're not solving the problem, but you're showing them that you're here and you're a sounding board and you're not just like dumping them. You're there. You're there for them. Love this chat box, by the way. Really nice. You got these are great stuff coming in. Thank you. Keep it coming. Okay, I love this one. Ready? Next strategy. We call it heads up. Let kids know when something will require time and perseverance. Right? If I said to you, if I gave you some crazy puzzle to do, and I said to you, this is really hard, you may not finish this in one sitting. Okay? This might take us like at least like three Shabbosim to finish. You right away are like, oh, okay. You know? How am I going to break this up? Maybe today I'll just do the outer edges, then I'll just do the green ones, the pink ones. Give them a heads up that the task may not be accomplished in one sitting, right? And I write over here, we're going to bring examples, sports players, musicians. What we see is work that took many sittings. And it gets them to understand that nothing is going to happen immediately. Sometimes things take time. And I can tell you from being a parent and a teacher, that's a big one. I have to fix it now, but I don't like it now, but I'm frustrated now. I taught math for many, many years. And you guys, we all hate those word problems. You know what I'm talking about? We all hate them. We hated them on the SATs. We hate them in fourth grade, third grade, second grade, sixth grade. And when I taught word problems, I said to my students at the beginning of the year, I am going to give you problems that are you may not get the answer. But that's okay because learning how to do these problems is hard and takes time. And so today you may just realize that you have a good strategy. You may not use it correctly. You may not get to the right answer, but you may like one of the strategies that we use today, and you'll use that again next time. So you'll see on my next slide when we're getting very practical, similar to what we're saying right now. Here's a little script you can use. What we're doing right now may take time to finish. Let's decide how we can break this up into smaller pieces and goals. Give them the heads up. Definitely, definitely with like teeny kids. Whenever I do this with groups, they say to me, you know, oh yeah, like, you know, when your kid, you know, it's time to go. We're leaving soon. Make sure you go to the bathroom, right? We're very good with little kids to do like more of these heads up things. But like, I don't know, what about with teenagers? What about with an 11-year-old? What about with your spouse? What about with your friends? Do we give each other these little heads ups so that we all understand that if it doesn't work right away, that's okay. Okay. Yeah, growth mindset, looking here in the chat box. It's okay to say what we're doing now is challenging and long. Yep, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. What we're working on developing, if we break into small groups of facts, share strat. Love that. Starting with easier facts to learn the expectation. This is great. Excellent. Next strategy. I see this one here. I want you to understand. I coach a lot of teachers, and I see that a lot of us fall into this trap, this efforts versus results. Okay. Let me read for you what I have, and then we're going to unpack this a little bit. When we praise efforts rather than results, we help children understand that their brains are elastic. And look, it's underlined. The right actions or behaviors can help them master new skills. Now, I'm going to come back to this slide, but just follow me here. Oftentimes, we fall into this trap. You did your best. I'm so proud of you because at least you tried. What does that mean? What are we telling them? We're telling them that you did something and that was it. It was your best. Oh, well, you tried. Oh, well, kind of closed, kind of over. And what we have to focus on is not the results, it's the efforts. So instead of these things, maybe we'll say, that tower you built at Magnus Isles, it completely fell. What are you going to do next time? What are you going to do next time? How are you going to make that tower? It's going to stay, right? Oh, well, you know what? Maybe I won't use the triangles on the bottom because they're not so steady. And if I would have said to that child, "Oh, you did your best. At least you tried. That was a really nice tower." Okay, we didn't teach them anything about the effort that goes into it. Or maybe we'll say something like, "I like the strategy you used to build that tower. I saw you tried the triangles first. It wasn't really steady. Then you put the squares on. It fell. You're right. The whole thing ended up falling. But that was a good strategy that you used to solve this." So that we keep helping them to understand that it's the work ethic. And you know, someone wrote in the chat box, I don't remember who. I'm trying to keep track of some names here. But someone wrote earlier on about their own perseverance. They said, "I've persevered because it's my natural tendency." And I think what you were trying to say is that you're probably somebody who's good at this, who's good at saying, that strategy, I'm going to try that next time, or ooh, next time I'm going to do this, right? You're not the person who says, "Oh, okay, I tried." Okay, well, like this natural tendency, what does that mean? This is what it means. Okay, so we want to move away from the results and move into the efforts and point that out so that they realize that that's what we want from them. That's how they're going to see more success by the effort. Okay, quick check in the chat box here. A lot of times someone's best is just not good enough, need to keep working. And it's not necessarily about being best or not best. It's what did you do, right? And maybe the strategy that you used is really not good for Magnet Tiles, but it's awesome when it comes to tying shoes. It's the strategy is a good strategy. Effort is important. However, using flexible and efficient strategies are important as well. Exactly. Very good. Complement the process and the steps that they use. Yes, I want to emphasize that none of what I'm saying is like rocket science to some of you. You know this. What I want to do really is give you the language. It's simple. And sometimes I fall into it too. We're just not using it. Okay, reflection is so important. Good. Really need to teach this. Excellent. I noticed the effort. Just saying that I noticed and be specific, right? I noticed how you tried the triangles on the bottom, but that didn't work. And then you tell them what that strategy was. Oh, thank you, Shiffy. I love this. I always wondered what bothered me. I did your best. Thanks for the. Yes, exactly. That's what I want to do. Just give you new ways to phrase this. Great. Keep it coming in the chat box. I'm going to move back here to our next strategy. Okay. Okay, that's it. It's one word. It's just fail. Do you know? You guys are going to laugh because you know it's true. Right before camp and right before school, okay, especially If you're, especially for like a parent who's also a teacher who's always a parent, you feel me. But listen, it's like, oh, what bunk are they in? What bunk are they in? What bunk are they in? Of course they're not in bunk C721X. I'm calling the camp right now because like she has to be with her friends. How could she not be with her friends? Or right before school starts, what class are you in? Oh my God, do you have rabbi this? You don't have rabbi that? Okay, I'm calling because I can't. But and I've coached parents many times. I've said to them, just leave it. Just leave it. Let's see what happens. You're right. It could be, it may be a really challenging year because they end up not with their friends. You're right. That may happen or that may not happen. But the point is that we're right away rushing to get rid of whatever this problem that we don't even know if it's going to be a problem. And we're looking to just take it away. And let me ask you something. What are we teaching them about adulthood? They're going to get to college and they're going to get their roommate. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't get the roommate I want. Like, I don't know. Is the college going to care? I don't know. Things don't really work like that. So we have to let them fail. While we talk to our students about persevering as the key to success, listen to this. What happens when we do persevere, but we don't succeed? Now, this is the second part of failing. We can have kids fail. And that's important. What happens when they do try and they do part in the effort and they still fail? That's something we have to talk about also. Now, true story. I obviously am like very passionate about this stuff. So I am always testing stuff out in the classroom. And a bunch of years ago, I was teaching this to students and it was great. I was all like, yeah, fail, persevere, blah, blah, blah. And a boy came to me the following year. Okay. He was, I think he was in about sixth grade. And he said to me, he said, I'm upset at you. Because you told me that if I did this and that and persevere, 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 I would succeed. And I did all that. I wanted to make the basketball team. I spent all of last year. I practiced. I did everything you said, Miss Lermer, but I didn't make the team. And you said I would. You said that when we persevere, we succeed. And I have to tell you all that I was like, oh, because he was right. And he had every reason to be upset with me because I had not addressed that. Sometimes you're going to persevere and you're still going to fail. Then what? What happens? Well, on my next page, on my little practical page, I'll tell you what I ended up deciding I was going to say to that boy. Sometimes when a strategy I'm using isn't working, I need to pivot. I said to him, I'm sorry you didn't make the team because I know you were working very hard. But that doesn't mean you just go home now and it's over. You love basketball. So what else are you going to do with basketball? Because that's what you love. So that didn't work. So let's pivot. Can you give little classes on Friday after school to, second grade boys who want to learn how to play ball? Is there another league you can join in your community? We pivot. We have to. I'm just running here to the chat box. Let's see here. Hani says, my son in fifth grade had a math test today. The teacher said, I want to see you try to do this math test on your own without the provider. And tomorrow, if you didn't do well, you can redo it. The teacher is showing down independence and room for growth, taking responsibility, just like everybody else. Yeah. And it's funny. I have parents that sometimes say to me, I need a tutor. I need a tutor because they're not going good in English. They need help with their Kriya. And and the socialized teacher qual. And you know what I said? This happens a lot. I say to the parents, and what if you get a tutor for math and not social studies, and they just don't do so well in social studies? I mean, are we really going to just be perfect in everything? Sometimes we're going to have these opportunities where we're not going to do so well. And that's okay also. Okay. Oops. This is very important to me. Okay. There we go. We cannot stop talking about it with our kids. We need to read books. We need to talk about it in our own life. We need to point out the strategies that we are using. We need to make connections for our kids. We have to keep the conversation going. So, you can come home from work and you can say to your child, you know how you were having that trouble with your friend the other day? I had that at work today. And I didn't really know what to do. Here's what I did. What do you think? Let's talk about it. I have to because I just am very, very, biased. But I can recommend a fantastic book that is written by yours truly. It's called The Kids Book About Perseverance. Now, this publishing company is it's an excellent company because it's every book is written by a different author, one who is an expert in that area. And it's not a storybook, it's a conversation. And this publishing company wanted to help parents and adults talk about things that might be difficult or that might be hard to like get the conversation going. There's a kid's book about cancer, a kid's book about voting, a kid's book about perseverance. And I recommend this book because you don't have to read the whole thing in its entirety. You can read the first part, the last part. It's kind of a jump in and jump out book. And I'll tell you something funny. I think it was about 2 years ago, I was doing a program at a local library. I came in, I read the book, it was very cute. And the librarian came over to me and she said, I want to tell you something. I read your book to my son last night and it was really helpful. And I said, that's great. How old is your son? And she said to me, he's in college. So, I had like a small chuckle for a second just because I was like totally not expecting that. And she saw that and she said, no, I know what you're thinking, but this is really a reminder that everyone at all ages and all stages really need to hear. You can check it out. It's on Amazon. I definitely recommend it. It's a great way to keep the conversation going. Now, as I said before, model, 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 model. It's really if you want to see anything in a child or a student, the answer is always whenever people come to me, I say, but did you model it? Oh, you want your students to do this? Oh, you're hoping your child will do that? That's great. Great idea. Did you model it? Because that's the best way for them to learn is to see someone else doing it. And what does it look like? And sometimes I get like a little emotional sometimes when I think about this because obstacles are not just for kids. I've been through a lot in my life. I know you've been through a lot in your life. And we're so scared sometimes. We don't want the students to see us struggling. We don't want our kids to see us struggling because maybe that shows weakness or it's not appropriate. It's not their business. And of course, I'm not asking you to spill your heart out to, your 7-year-old, but be transparent and share about moments where you're persevering or where you are failing. It's really hard for me, honey, to make, dinner every night and you and your siblings have homework. I just want you to know that I'm always going to webinars and workshops to try to learn strategies so I can keep pivoting to help things run in our house. It's really hard for me. It's okay. And let them hear that it's normal. It's very normal to be anxious and that they can be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. Please model, model, model. Okay, there's a lot going on in the chat box here. Ooh, I like there's links. Oh, interesting. Sometimes my students think that my modeling is staged. That is such an interesting comment because I guess my question to you would be like, is it? Kids can really tell right away. And sometimes when it's really real, it's gonna come right through. You know what I mean? So if you come in and you sit down and you're like, I cannot get this poster to hang on the wall. I have tried 16 times of scotch tape. Okay, this has happened to me. And I cannot get it to hang on the wall. All right. I cannot do this. What am I going to do to get this up here? Right? That might be one way. Or it might be you can come in and say, guys, I'm so sorry. I see you're talking about cynical teens. Here's a great teens example. If I snap at you today, I'm having a hard day. I had a lot going on last night with my own kids that I'm not really sure how to deal with. And so I apologize because like it's I don't mean it, but it may happen. How often do adults do that? How often do teachers come in or even parents come in and vulnerable like that and talk to kids like that? And there's a whole nother discussion, talking about like relationships with our students and our children's. And I have lots of great strategies for that too, but that's not for today. But definitely model, model, model. Okay, let me just give it another quick look at our chat box. The power of yet. Good. Yeah. Oh, so you'll definitely, Nancy, you would love my book. We talk about the power of yet, Carol Dweck. Right, definitely. With her mindset. So perhaps most, and you're going back to talking about effort. Perhaps the most common misconception is simply equating the growth mindset with effort. Certainly effort is key for students' achievement. Yes. Where can you purchase a book? Amazon, guys. Amazon is where it's at. Please check it out on Amazon. I'm just scrolling up a little bit if I missed anyone up the top here. Oh, another book. Someone's recommending I Will Always Be by Rebecca Levington. Okay, thank you, Aliza. I'm gonna check that out. I'm always looking for other good perseverance books. Oh, this is funny, Hani. You're making a recipe and it flops. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's such a good example. You know, like, what did I do wrong here? Oh, I know. I was eyeballing it because I really didn't want to take out all the measuring cups. Okay, not a good strategy. Read directions, follow. Yeah, thank you, Hani. I like that. All right. I want to do a little reflection here. Okay. You guys are talking about how reflection is so important. I would like you to tell me in the chat box what is something you learned with me today? Things you want to try tomorrow, thoughts you're having, questions you're having. I'm going to put 3 minutes on the timer because I really want you to think about this. And it's okay if we have 3 minutes of quiet. We'll be good. All right, timer is going on. I will be checking the chat box and let's reflect. Again, questions, comments, thoughts. Ish. That is a good book. I have that one. Peter Reynolds. Yeah, it's a good book. Ooh, gradual release of responsibility. Yes, Aviva. Okay, some really good comment. I'm going to address some of these questions. Okay, we have another minute left on our timer. Interesting comment. Very interesting. All right, 30 seconds left on our timer. Okay. All right, 10 seconds. And then I picked out a few things that I'd like to address. I think you guys will find interesting. All right, there's my timer. Okay. Wow, lots of interesting things here. So I'm gonna address just a few things. So A question came in here about like, what if there's a kid that has low tolerance and, just is getting frustrated very easily? And, you say, well, a kid, I think they're all like that, And what you need to understand that everything that I talked about here with you guys tonight does not get fixed overnight. Throwing an HMW and saying, what would you like to do about that? One time is it's not gonna work after one time. Most probably you'll get like, oh, I don't know. And so the conversation is really important. So I'm going to connect that to someone else's question. Someone said, like, what do you do with a full class? So let's put this all together here. As a class, we are a community. And we say to our class, in this class, we persevere. It is not easy. And it is not something that's going to be fun, and it may not feel good all the time, but I'm going to push you to persevere. Hang up a poster that says, we persevere. Anytime that you're having this, low frustration tolerance, you're going to point to that poster. And I always joke my students, like, that they like hate me for the first month of school because sometimes I won't even answer their questions. I'll say, that's a great question. I'm not answering that right now. I even once had a student who raised their hand and looked at me and was like, oh, forget it. Because she knew I just wasn't going to do it. It's something that you have to build in your home as well. It doesn't happen overnight. And once kids slowly start to see that they can do these things and you keep pointing things out to them, remember when you couldn't do that math problem last week, but you tried that strategy and I was not going, yeah, you were mad at me. You were mad at me because I didn't want to help you. But look at where we are today. It could take an entire year with a class, it can take months with your family, but you have to be committed to it. So yeah, you're gonna find a lot of kids who are gonna get frustrated very easily, and you have to be okay with them being a little upset at you. But the message that comes across is from our first strategy. Remember, I am your cheerleader. You are not alone. I will support you while you figure this out. And if that message comes across, you keep going and you keep pushing. I saw a lot of people like those HMWs, so I'm glad that was really great. Someone asked, like, how we can loop the parents into this. So, from a teacher's perspective, absolutely. You want to get the parents using the same language as you are. So that comes back to our hopefully really good communication. Dear parents, we're working on perseverance. Here's some language that we use in the classroom. We use things like, what would you like to do about that? When kids approach me with questions. You can even give a specific example. You use my language, How might we give them the language so that we're all using the same language? You can even say to parents, when you see kids persevering at home, let me know so I can be proud of them as well. And then Leia comes into school and you're like, Leia, your mom told me what happened at ballet last night. Like, way to go. You persevered. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it looks like. I know you ended up falling down and like that was not what you intended, but your mom was telling me about how you got to that point. Way to go. So please bring the parents into that. I'm going to address another thing that came up. It says here, what about kids who don't care? Now, we have that issue with a lot of things, right? I'm trying to teach them math and they don't care. I'm telling them they can't act like that at recess and they don't care. Yeah. There are kids that sometimes just don't care. And what I say to parents, what I say to teachers is like this: one day they will. When it matters to them, it really will. So I cannot force them to care about their math problem. I cannot force them to care about persevering. And if they say to themselves, all right, so I'm going to sit here and do nothing because I didn't want to persevere and I didn't want to keep going, then they will sit there and they will do nothing. That is what will happen. And unless there's like a safety issue, right? If there's a kid who doesn't care and keeps like throwing things at, obviously, safety we want to take care of. But we keep showing our support. We keep showing that we're cheering them on and we keep asking them those questions. Okay, I guess you're telling me you don't care. Just know that there are ways for us to figure this out, so that you don't have to be upset that you're with no friends on the bus. If this is how you'd like to handle it, okay, I understand. And that'll be it. And one day when it matters, they will care. I know that's not like the answer you want to hear, but it's kind of like the reality. There's a lot of adults that I know that also don't care about a lot of stuff, and that's the life that they live. So we keep modeling and we keep offering that support, and we hope that they see and they internalize the things that we're doing. Someone just said that's a very good point. And I'm going to say what I said before, right? Like kids are just mini adults. We look inward. There's a lot of things that kids go through. We go through it also. Someone mentioned on here, how can we take more of my workshops and learn more of the things that I do? So, number one, feel free to check out. I have a lot of great stuff on Instagram. I actually haven't been so active in the last year, and people have like been pushing me to really get back on there. So we'll see if you guys like really want me to, I guess. But there's a lot of good stuff that's already posted on there. Please go through it. Look through everything. I think we have Rabbi Huss. Is there like a play? I think we wrote, I don't know, here. Okay, please email me. I come to schools. I work with parents. I do parent workshops in schools. I work with teachers. I do PD. We have a lot of fun. We learn. We're practical. You can reach out to me. Oh, here, my Instagram's that you can email me, or on Instagram, it's Kid Coach or Kid Koach, however you want to pronounce it, but it's spelled the same way. You can message me on there too. If you don't have Instagram, someone's writing, you can email me. I'd be happy to talk to you, and we can work out different opportunities. Rabbi Huss, like, this was a great crowd. This was awesome. I love when people really interact, and it's hard over Zoom. I can't really see you, but I could feel the energy here. So this was so great. Thank you everybody for being here and for participating.